morning. Let's join with me in reading and the scripture reading. Mark 9, beginning with verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, "What was it that you disputed among yourselves by the way?" But they held their peace, for by the way they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. And he sat down and called the 12, and saith unto them, "If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all, and servant of all." And he took a child, and set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receiveth me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me." And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Today's lesson is what is the issue? It's kind of it's a New Year's Eve type of sermon. But I think it's one that really is going to have some application on how we look at the things that we're going to be involved in this year. So before we go that direction, let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we thank you as you bless us this day with your word, that we might see your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we, Father, might be more like him, that we might be encouraged to be sacrificial and to be giving, to be loving, to be kind, and most of all, Father, to give our all to you. We thank you, Father, as you bless us in that, and we pray these things in his name and for his sake. Amen. What is the issue? Issues permeate every area of our life. Every year has certain issues that come up and come across the television of our life, and we look at them and we watch them. Last year, what was it? Y2K. I mean, look how frightened everybody became towards the end of last year. I mean, 1999, coming into the year 2000. Y2K was a huge issue. Other issues that came up. Who won the national championship? The same guys that lost it this year. The Seminoles. Who won the NFL championship? The Rams. Who won the NBA? The Lakers. All these things came. Which side were you on? What team was yours? Who did you follow? What were you interested in? Maybe you followed the stock market. How many times did it go down last year? Two times too many, to be honest. Two times too many. You had other things. You had Bush and Gore. Now, there's an issue. Charlie's Angels. How about Tiger Woods? My goodness, what a golfer he is. How about Florida and the recount and the election? All these things, these were issues that we confronted. There were more issues that were not personal, though. And see, I think when we look at issues from four different places. We look at them from a personal, things like, what am I going to wear today? What am I going to eat? And then what am I going to eat? Or we look at it from a social, where do I live? Where do I work? Who do I marry? What friends do I cultivate? Political. Am I conservative? Am I a liberal? How do I approach this issue? Abortion. Environmentalism. Social welfare reform. The fourth division. You have personal, social, political, and I think probably the more important is spiritual. Spiritual issues. How much of those take up your everyday life? Spiritual issues. I mean, have you gotten over the first one? Is there really a God? A bumper sticker said, if you're going to live like there's no God, you better be right. Spiritual issues. I mean, that's the very first one. If there's no God, live any way you want. Who cares? If there is a God, then you better pay attention. What way is the real way? What way do I follow? Who do I follow? Who's right? Who's wrong? Why am I here? That's a spiritual issue. What am I supposed to do in these circumstances? What do I do with this issue in my family, in my finances, in my home, in my health, in my happiness? Too often, when we decide these issues, you know how we decide them? Based on self, on what I want, what's best for me. Now, I don't think that's really the way we should look at issues. Issues shape our perspective of life and our approach to it. Look at our lesson today. Here we have our Lord walking on the road to Capernaum. And here are His disciples. And they all kind of fall back a little bit as He goes ahead. Now, Capernaum was a little town on the Sea of Galilee, about 2 miles west of the Jordan River. And it was a city. It wasn't a little fishing village. It was a major metropolitan area. Thousands of people lived there. The Roman crossroads from the east and west and the north and south came through there. It was the home of Andrew, his brother Peter, the home of Matthew, the tax collector. It was the home base of Jesus and His ministerial outreach. The Galilean areas where Capernaum, the Sea of Galilee, are situated. And look in verse 33. They came to Capernaum. And being in the house, I don't know whose house. Could have been Simon's house. You know, remember his mother-in-law and his house was sick, and that's where he's from? It could have been in Simon's house. But they came to the house, and no matter whose house it is, he sensed and he knew that there was a problem that his disciples had. Are y'all getting feedback? I'm getting feedback up here. And so they had an issue. Who is the greatest among us? Who is the greatest? You know, these issues, especially this time of year, this being a new year, you've got some issues. I've got some issues. And we try to renew ourselves in regard to these issues by making what we call New Year's resolutions. And we resolve not to do what we did last year unless it was something that was right, and then we resolve to do it again. But if it was wrong, we resolve not to do it. And a lot of times we don't have victory in that. We fall into a relapse instead of falling into a renewal. One guy said back in 1998, he said, I'm going to get my weight down to 180. 1999, his New Year's resolution was, I think I'm going to watch my calories until I get below 190. 2000, he said, I'm going to follow this new diet religiously until I get below 200. And this year, he said, I am going to develop a realistic attitude about my weight. Another guy went to, in 1998, he says, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. 1999, he says, well, I'm going to go to church as often as possible. Last year, he said, I'll set aside each day time for prayer and meditation. And then last week, he said, I'm going to try to make the late night sermonette on TV. Relapse or renewal? We resolve in our life to do something, and then we don't have the self-control. We don't have the power to do it more than a day. Sometimes we can't do it for 5 minutes. Have you ever gotten down on your knees in a long time and begin to pray? And how hard is that? There's issues in my life. And this morning I laid in bed at 6:30 and I began to talk to the Lord and just to pray about things, and these issues started coming into my mind like that. And the next thing I knew, I was fighting these issues in my mind. Issues at work, issues on the board that I belong to, issues that have nothing to do with my quiet time. But they just come in and they come in. I don't have the self-control. All of a sudden I realize, what am I doing? It's like getting into the shower and not taking my clothes off. No self-control. No power to keep focused on the thing that God wants me to focus on. And here are these guys who are walking with God Himself. And they can't keep their mind on the things that He wants Him to keep it on. Look at what they fight about. Verse 34. The end of verse 33. What was it that you disputed among yourselves on the way? Verse 34, they held their peace, for on the way they disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Now, can you see these guys? Here they are, they're walking down there, and they're, you know, I'm better than you. I don't think they're saying I'm bigger than you, or my dad's bigger than you, or I've got more candy than you. That's a little childish. I don't think they're saying those kind of things, but don't you think Peter and James and John said, you know, Jesus has us pray with him more than he asked you guys. Yeah. Can you imagine him doing that? Matthew, he's probably sitting there thinking in his mind that he's got more business experience. Remember, he was a tax collector. I know more about finances than any of you. And then there's Thomas. You know, Thomas was not like Peter, and he probably thought, you know, I'm not like Peter. Peter, I'm not like you. You just rush headlong into everything. Not me. I think things out. Think about that. But do you think that Peter and James and John, when they bragged about how much time they spent with the Lord in prayer, ever told anybody that they fell asleep? Or do you think Matthew, when he said, you know, I'm really a businessman, I know more about finances, do you think he ever told anybody that he cheated? And Thomas, when he bragged about how thoughtful he was, do you think that he ever told anybody about how much he doubted? And here they were bragging about who's going to be the greatest. Their eyes just set on one thing. And when they came to the house, Jesus asked them, what was it? What were you disputing about back there? I heard you guys. And none of them would say, verse 34, they held their peace, for on the way they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Verse 35, Jesus sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. If you want to be first, you got to be last. If you want to be the chief, you got to be the servant. Amazing. So simple. So to the point. Touches the heart. And I think that's really where I want to go with this today. The rest of it we can read. Let's read verse 36 and 7. So he took a child and he set the child in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, can you imagine that child probably just cuddled right up to him because he loved him? I can see in verse 37, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. Who is the greatest? I think it's an issue of the heart. I think that's where we've got to begin. It's an issue of the heart. You know, it says in Proverbs that guard your heart. Be diligent about how you take care of your heart. Keep your heart, it says, for out of the heart come forth what? The issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. The issues of life come out of the heart. It's a heart issue. That's really where I want to go with this. I want to talk about the heart a little bit today. You know, the heart's got... why worry about what I've got to say about it? Let's go back over to Matthew and let's see what our Lord had to say about it. Turn over to Matthew chapter... I don't see it. Chapter 12, I think is where it is. Nope, chapter 6. Chapter 12, second. Chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me tell you a little bit about the heart, this little muscle that beats inside our chest. It has four chambers that pump day and night, whether you know it or not. 2,000 gallons of blood every day it pumps. 2,000 gallons of blood to every part of your body. It beats 4,000 times an hour, whether you're aware of it. In 50 years, the heart beats enough times to lift a battleship out of the water. We're so concerned with the heart. We are, rightfully so. I mean, think how much time we spend with our heart today. Heart medication, heart transplant, heart operations, bypasses, angioplasty, stents, all of that stuff. We spend more time on the physical heart and not enough time on the spiritual heart. God's interested in the heart. The heart, if it goes bad, the physical heart, if it goes bad, you know it. You're in trouble when that heart goes bad. But God cares more about the spiritual heart. And it's the heart that brings forth the issues of life. Here in Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 19. He says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And here's the key verse. "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." I'm going to, if you don't mind, use an example. Josiah's treasure is sitting right next to him. That's where his heart is. I can say that. I just use that. I could use other examples. All of us have this relationship, especially us who are married have this relationship. But you particularly see it the day that it's announced. You particularly see it the moment that it's fresh and it's new. That's when it has its biggest impact. But that is what he's trying to get through to us today. That's what he's trying to talk about in this passage. Look over Matthew chapter 12. The heart has the issues of life. The treasure of your life is where your heart is. In Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 33. Now, think about this little thing that beats inside our chest and how important it is. Another statistic I read was that out of 1.9 million deaths each year, over 700,000 of those are heart-related. It's no wonder that we spend so much time thinking about the heart from a physical point of view. But do you know how many hearts are broken each year because of alcoholism and drugs? Do you know how many hearts are broken each year because of abuse and pornography? See, now we're talking about the spiritual part of the heart there, aren't we? You know, those things don't touch your life. You probably aren't an alcoholic. You probably don't get up every morning looking for a new drug to take to get you high, to get you through the day. You probably don't worry too much about those kind of sins, those kind of spiritual crimes. But what about the other ones? The ones that are less obvious and more accustomed in our life? Our feelings towards one another, our arguments, our disputes about who is the greatest. Verse 33, "Either make the tree good and its fruit is good." You can always tell how good the pie was by tasting it. No matter how good it looks. "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by what somebody tells you." No, it's known by its fruit. The tree is known by the fruit that it produces. You see that in people's lives. You see it in your life. Verse 34, of course, he brings this home when he talks to those who oppose him. "O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." It's a heart issue. This almost seems like 101, doesn't it? Class 101. But you know, a lot of people go to class, but they never become a student. Verse 35. "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Yeah. The heart is not anything, and I've said this so many times before, it's not anything that's particular. I mean, it's not good. It's not evil. It's a receptacle that holds good and it holds evil, so that what comes out of it is what's put in it. The next verse, go over to Matthew 15. As he called the multitude together and he began to talk to them, and he says in verse 10, "Hear and understand." It It's not that which goes into the mouth that defiles a man, but that which comes out of the mouth. This defiles a man. Then came to his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? And he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, I just can't imagine he said that. Leave them alone. Don't mess with them. All right, doesn't that kind of go against what you think ought to be right? I mean, shouldn't you go to them? Aren't we, you know, to witness and share and... See, once a fruit's already been established, you know what the tree is. Why waste your time? It's not going to change. At least it isn't going to be by anything you do. It's only the Lord that's going to change the heart. Verse 19. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. The example of the condemnation that they had against his disciples, that they were eating without washing, violating the traditions of men and the commandments of the fathers. What an issue. And the condemnation, blind leaders of the blind. The heart. The heart has two aspects to it that I wanted to look at. And I'm going to quickly go through one, and we'll finish up the second one next week. But there's a personal aspect of it. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. And not only is there a personal aspect of the heart, but there's a national aspect of the heart. We'll see that in Scripture, but we'll look at it next week. The personal aspect of the heart, Genesis chapter 6, this is before Noah, before the flood. This is after they got kicked out of the garden. Verse 5. Let's begin with verse 1, kind of give the background. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them. One person has calculated that at this time there were somewhere around 25 billion people on the face of the earth. This is 1,600 or so years from Adam. 1,600 plus years from Adam. Verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto them, unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men who were men of old and men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I referenced that earlier. That's the first hurdle. Is there a God? If there is, then there's right and wrong. There's good and evil. There's a choice that needs to be made. Joshua said, choose you this day good. And when you choose good, you choose life. To choose life. Out of the heart come forth the issues of life. The imagination of the thoughts of the heart only evil. Verse 6. So it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him. Where? In his heart. God's got a heart. May not think that, but that's just what it said, didn't it? Didn't yours read that way, Betty? He's got a heart about these matters. And it grieves his heart when our imaginations are evil. Oh, you know, Joe had a lesson this morning, And if I'm going to paraphrase one aspect of it. But it seems like the brighter the light that comes in to our life, the closer we cling to Him because of the reality of how much darkness there has been in our life. Does that make sense? Darkness doesn't like the light. In fact, it recoils at light. You've had that. You've shared with somebody the love of God, and haven't they recoiled at that? And the darkness that is in them, they get that the heart. But see, the more light that you shine, the more light that comes in, the Word of God, the light that comes in. Joe showed us. Go back over to turn to Proverbs chapter 6. We'll look at this real quick. We'll stop here because we don't have time to develop this. But we're going to look at a little bit more of the personal idea of the heart. Proverbs chapter 6. And we'll stop here. There's a wonderful verse in Psalms 119th chapter, the 105th verse, about the Word of God, how important it is to our feet and to our path. It is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, the Word of God. Look here in verse 23. The commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. The heart needs more light. The heart needs to have areas that are in it exposed to the light so that the good treasure can be placed in there. The bad treasure that takes up the heart can be removed. If there is a wish that I have, a New Year's resolution for you, it would be that you would open your heart to the Word of God. Begin to take the Word of God from that point of view of what He reveals to you. By that, I mean test Him. Prove Him to be who He is. A year ago, I said, let's pray about one thing all year. Do you remember that? You don't have to raise your hands. Pray about it all year. One thing. And let's see how God moves in that one thing. Open your heart to trusting Him and see what He does. Oh, gosh. You'd love it to happen just like that. You'd love to have a miracle into some kind of financial situation or family relationship or some kind of healing. This last summer I got this stuff called psoriasis. And I've talked to him about this. This stuff bothers me. But I've got nothing coming from him yet. I just diligently, day in and day out, keep going on. I would love to have a miracle, like you would, but if we all kept having these miracles every day, they wouldn't be called miracles. I heard Chuck Swindoll call them regulars, if they happened every day. The reason they're called miracles is because there's few and far between them. One thing, pray this last year. I hope He blessed you with that. I hope in little ways that He began to move the solution and the completion of whatever that may be. You may not really want to share it with us, but I'm going to hit on some things. It could be lying. It could be gossiping. It could be bearing false witness, coveting. It may be failure to honor mother and father. Gosh, where are these things coming from? Right there in verse 23, the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. I need more light in my life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You as You reach into the heart of each one here today and your need or your solution meet their need. You know better than we do how great the need is. And You have something prepared. It's, it's promised to us in the Scriptures, Father, that you say that that which you have begun, that you will complete. Our biggest problem is getting over ourselves, and you understand that even before we do. Father, if we could kick the person in the rear that has given us more trouble than anyone else, none of us could sit down for 6 weeks. And we just pray that you give us insight to the need to have self-control. It's not just a lesson for young kids. It's a lesson for your children. And we thank you, Father, that we can turn to the Word and we can receive joy and comfort, encouragement, and boldness to take on the things that seem to want to drag us away from the light and put us into the darkness. Father, may we feed upon every word that you have for us, and may we begin to enjoy the bread of life. And we thank you for these blessings in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.